Hey guys, welcome to episode 13 of Color and Emotion. So I have a thought about what I want to talk about in this episode, but I don't actually know where I'm going with the thought or how it's going to turn out. But I want to talk about light and oil in our lamps and what that represents and communicates about the way that we live our lives and living from deeply rooted places and places of deep beauty where we participate in the poetry of life is a phrase that came to me the other day that I've been thinking about. Well, honestly, I hadn't been thinking about it. I forgot about it, but then I saw it in my journal and I was like, oh yeah, I need to like think about that. So I'm planning to think about that. But I just wanted to start with a verse from Psalm 18:28. So it says, Lord, you light my lamp, my God illuminates my darkness. And this is a verse that, I don't know, like it's just one of those things that has been a comfort to me in recent weeks. I had on my Amazon list like a lamp, and when I moved, I really wanted to get this lamp, but I was also trying to be like strategic with my budget and all the things because I basically left everything minus like one sedan's worth of belongings in North Carolina and or sold or gave it away. And that's, I mean, I think this is probably like the third time that I've done that in my life. And it always on the other side of that, the Lord has had like such richness and goodness. But it does take a lot to do that kind of transition. So anyway, I had this lamp on my list and I was like super stoked on it because it's like got a textured face to it and it's this really cool green color, and then it's also wireless, and so I was like really attracted to it for that reason. Is it wireless? It doesn't have a cordless. It's a cordless. So it's like battery operated. Anyway, one of my aunts texted me and was like asking if I had anything that she could bless me with for housewarming. And so I showed her like, oh, actually, I really want this lamp. And so she bought it for me. And the day that it came in the mail, I was like unboxing it. And as I like opened the box, this verse just came up in my spirit where it says like, Lord, you light my lamp. My God illuminates my darkness. And so the other thought that I've been kind of like sitting on to podcast about is with regard to a parable that Jesus gives in Matthew 25, which comes after a section where he's talking about signs of the end of the age, the end of all things being at hand, the destruction of the temple in their day, and then also just like all of these like really intense parables and messages about the fact that things are not going to be this way forever down here. Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a new kingdom, and whatever you believe about the specifics and the logistics of that is kind of neither here nor there. We all see in part and none of us know exactly all the things, but the fact of the matter is that there are some warnings that we can heed, some things that we can be sensitive to and pay attention to and be aware of. But specifically, I wanted to talk about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins that is in Matthew 25 verses 1 through 13. And so to give like a little bit of context to my personal historicity with this passage, I grew up in a Christian home in the 90s. So we had like all of this epic Christian kid content. And I just was like so blessed to have a home that was really saturated in scripture and in the things of God and just had high value for the presence of God. And in addition to a myriad of like tapes and books and just all the things, games even, we had like this Bible trivia game. My mom was always like really good at it and she would pray about the answers and stuff. Then my family would get really mad because she would like the Holy Spirit would give her the answers and she would win all the time. But we had like one of my favorite things that we had was this collection of cassette tapes that was from this group called Hosanna! Exclamation. And they would make children's songs out of like passages of scripture. And then there was also another collection. I don't know if it was the same collection or what, but there were also just sometimes like completely narrative cassette tapes that would either do like parables that had been modernized, or like actual like Bible story readings. And so there was this one of this particular parable. And I remember in my childhood mind, when I would hear the parable about these women who were all waiting for a bridegroom and a wedding, and how five of them had oil in their lamp and they were wise, and five were foolish and they didn't have any oil in their lamp. It always kind of confused me why the oil that the five wise had wasn't enough for everybody. Because in the narration of the story, it always sounded like the door to the wedding feast was close to where they were. So in my mind, I'm like, well, I mean, you guys could just like huddle up and just like run to the door and then you'll be fine. Like, why are these people, like these other half of the virgins, are going away to go buy wine, not wine, to go buy oil for their lamps? And then they just get locked out of the wedding and miss the whole thing, when they could have just kind of like, you know, ran super fast and seen by the light of these wise women that had oil in their lamps. But in recent years, particularly like I would say in 2020, and since then, I feel like the Lord has kind of illuminated for me, Pudum Ching, that it's not just about having light by which to see. It's also that oil in your lamp is a requirement for entry into the wedding feast. It's like having a ticket. So like, if you don't have oil in your own lamp, you're not eligible to enter. And what the oil represents is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and intimacy with the Lord. So I'm just going to actually read the passage, and then I'll touch on a couple other thoughts about that and what that looks like for living a wholehearted life of endurance. So this is New King James Version. I'm reading Matthew 25 verses 1 through 13. And I would definitely recommend reading this in the context of the book of Matthew, because like I said, right before this, Jesus is going through like all of this really intense imagery and all of these like stories and warnings and stuff. And this is where this particular parable is situated in scripture. And it even starts out in continuation of what came before it, because it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So it's a really sobering thought, right? That you could be waiting for the Lord and then also not be prepared when he comes. It's kind of like, ta-da. But he's faithful. And so the encouragement that I have is to, not that this is the entirety of the motif or message, but to make margin in your life so that you don't burn out, right? Like if you have oil in your lamp, you're not going to burn out. You'll be able to endure, and you will be able to live in a way that is wholehearted and luminescent. I was recently at a worship school in California. It was like super awesome. And one of the things that came up was the idea of authenticity, and then also the idea of having margin in your life. And it was such a refreshing conversation, because I personally have just experienced the difference that it makes when I'm not overly obligated and when I'm really allowing myself to wait on the Lord and to have just space and time in my life to where my own agenda isn't the most important thing to me. And, you know, my list of things that I feel like I need to accomplish is surrendered to the Lord, and that my identity is really just found in Christ. And then I don't have anything to prove. And so it's makes it a lot easier to yield myself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And I was on Instagram the other day, and there's this like one guy who he keeps showing up in my like reel or whatever. I don't know how it works, whatever it's called. He just is there. I don't know why I don't follow him. But he makes all these videos about like burnout church staff, and it's really actually very sad because it's not supposed to be that way. And because I just feel like I just opened a can of worms because I have a lot of thoughts about the American church culture and corporatization and church planning methods and all the things. But the point right now is that serving the Lord is supposed to actually be enjoyable. It's supposed to be delightful. And we're not supposed to do it in our own strength or according to our own understanding. And I think that in spaces that are not familiar with or knowledgeable of the Holy Spirit and how He moves, it becomes, unfortunately, super easy to just kind of do things for the Lord and be really busy on behalf of the Lord and not know Him, to miss out on His sustaining friendship and to burn out, you know? And that's not what we're designed for. We're actually designed for endurance and longevity and wholeheartedness, but we have to live a certain way in order to experience that. So when it comes to like having oil in your lamp, one of the ways in which you can live that way is that you have to have boundaries. And sometimes, as demonstrated in the parable, that boundary is going to look like you saying no to other people and what they need and meeting their needs and, you know, trying to fix their lack of preparation. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot that can be said about it. And I didn't really know where I was going with this when I started it. I actually recorded this earlier today, but I was like rushed, and it was ironic because I'm sitting here trying to talk about margin and not burning out, and I'm like squeezing out a podcast in the last 11 minutes of my lunch break. But it's just something that's been on my heart. It's really important to me. And so I just wanted to share that because, like I've mentioned before, the heart of this particular podcast is about the connection between emotional vitality and endurance. And just on like a personal level, experiencing the sustaining friendship of God and experiencing intimacy with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like it. And it's just so worth the change of pace and the recalibration of your heart and life that it requires. And you really start to see like the way God sees, and you really start to get an understanding of what is most important. And so I'll just leave you with this other thought about oil, but not the kind that you burn. And there's another parable that I don't have in front of me right now. I don't want to tell you something wrong, but it's when Jesus is at somebody's house having, oh, look, I literally just flipped right to it. Praise God. Okay. So it's Mark 14 where, I'll just read it. So Mark 14, beginning in verse 1, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So that's just like really something to think about in stark contrast to the culture that we live in and the way that we have been living and been doing church and just the religiosity that has crept in over decades and centuries. To think that Jesus valued what other people considered to be wasteful, and that was a woman who took all of everything that she had and literally poured it out over him for him in a demonstrable act of worship. And so just the fact that Jesus like values beauty and intimacy so much that it's more important to him than all the things that you could do at any given time, but to be in tune with his spirit and with his movement and where he's going, literally with his body, like where his body is headed. And then also on the other side of the resurrection, like being able to discern the body of Christ and to have an awareness and a spiritual enlightenment about like what is most important to God and what's on his heart at any given day. And I think that it's rare to find people who are that in tune with the Lord, because I mean, even in this passage, he's there with all his disciples, and even they get confused and start criticizing her based on what some other random person who didn't love God said, you know? So anyway, one of the things that I don't want to do on my podcast is talk just to be talking. So I feel like I've hit on the notes. Hopefully you're able to get something out of it. Have a little bit of food for thought and encouragement to set boundaries in your life that allow you to live in a way that protects the oil in your lamp and allows the Lord to fill you up so that you don't burn out. So I hope you guys are having a good week. I will be back to chat to you soon. Bye.